This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Here we go. Fantasy Showtime, and it is week one of the National Football League season. Let's go, people. Who's ready? All year, all offseason, been waiting. It's time. It's time to open all those presents under the Christmas tree and see what football goodness pops out. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Oh, baby. Each and every single game, we're going to go through our fantasy football start sets. We get back into the danger zone as well. News and notes will keep you up to date for the next 2 hours on any sits, injuries, whatever news comes out. Shaw, it's week one, baby. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Andy. It's nice to hear your voice. Nice to hear you get pumped up for NFL football this Sunday. Week one, finally. It feels like it kind of crept up on us. I don't know about you. I don't know if it's because the Blue Jays season has been so wacky, and I've been focusing a lot on that. But despite the fact that we have done like virtually every preview for every division and every position under the sun, it still feels like it kind of crept on us. But still, you know what? I'm wearing my Sunday best. I have my Patriots blazer thing here on under a Patriots shirt. I was walking in. It's funny. I was walking in through a largely deserted building because it's early on a weekend, right? But I was walking in, and for people who don't know, here we're at the studio. The Fan is here, Fan 590, and then elsewhere in other parts of the building, 680 News is there, CHFI is there, an FM radio station here, Music Station, and Kiss 92.5. And our counterpart at CHFI for the morning show was wearing a Seahawks jersey, and people in the parking lot had, like, someone in the parking lot who was driving here had one of those, like, license plate frames for the Browns. So football is officially back, Andy.
There you go.
It's officially back.
Oh, my Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs, the 4:25 primetime game. I'm going to be nervous, wreck show. I wish it was at 1 o'clock. I'm going to stomach in knots the whole day. Oh, man. It's great, though. It is great to have football back. And like I said, we're going to have our danger zone picks at the end of the day. And really, show, it's always open. But now it's wide open. The people's text line at 590.
We already have texts. We already have a couple.
See, you guys know. Yeah. You guys know the drill. You know where to come for your fantasy football Sunday morning. That's right here on the Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network. You can also get us on Twitter, of course, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. So we will open those texts at the top of the next hour, and we'll get to as many of those as we can. And as always, if we cannot, we will answer them before Sunday at 1 p.m. kickoff. But show, some news coming out overnight as far as start sits, and this is what we'll keep track of as well as things start to funnel in. This one is not a surprise, but it's official. Deshaun Watson, healthy scratch for the Houston Texans,
yes,
which is what we expected. But that just kind of proves the point when we did the relatively, I think, brief Houston Texans preview, which is pretty much just dumping on them for 5 minutes. You don't want too many shares, as we say. You don't want too many shares of the Houston Texans for your fantasy football team. Is that fair? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think Brandon Cooks, you and I have talked about this, is probably the only guy you're starting on any given day from that offense, unless you like really think that, you know, Tyrod Taylor, or you're like in a bind because of COVID or something on a bye week or something like that for a 2QB or a super flex league. Like, there's no reason you should be starting virtually anyone other than Brandon Cooks on a week to week basis. It's funny, you know what's funny, Andy? I'm in a keeper league where a couple of years ago I actually drafted Deshaun Watson in this league, and he has been absolutely phenomenal fantasy football wise for his entire career. And of course, now he is a scumbag now. So I can't really
alleged,
have him on my
alleged.
Team. Okay, fine. Alleged
scumbag.
But because I paid up for the guy before all this nonsense happened, I can't drop him without having like a huge hit to my team. So you know what? I'm glad he was at least ruled out, because now I can stash him in one of those IR spot, like those IR quote unquote out spots for at least the rest of the season. So that it doesn't hurt too much. But it was a 2QB league. And now I was left with I was going to go into this season with Dak and Deshaun, and I was very pleased. And then, not to be apparently this season.
Well, no. So who did you pick up for your second quarterback?
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Everyone else was gone.
Okay.
Everyone else was gone, Andy.
Hey, listen, Joe. Listen, we know the first quarter of the season is going to be great. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to light it up, and we're going to see all over NFL Network, Fitzmagic back? Question mark. It's like, for now, yes. So Like we were saying a couple weeks ago on the show, to me, if you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, I love the pickup, but just try to sell high. Try to sell within this next four-week window. If you can trade Ryan Fitzpatrick when he will inevitably be at his peak in this next four-week window, get a nice little return back, I think you're doing well. This is ultimately a short-term investment, I feel, in Ryan Fitzpatrick. I just don't want to be going into my fantasy playoff show having to rely on the wand of Fitzmagic all that often, because we know how this story goes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wonder, like, if, when it comes to Washington, I truly wonder who would be the guy to supplant him, right? Because in other situations, by and large, there were, like, not every situation for him, because he's played in a lot of different teams, but, you know, there's always some young gun who has come in to kind of take his job, right? And the most recently being Tua, of course, in Miami. But I mean, is Taylor Heinicke really going to be that guy? I don't know. I'm not super convinced on that. Maybe it'd be good for different players for different reasons, fantasy football wise. But I think if there ever was a year for Fitzmagic to stay the starting guy and stay, like, decent from now until the end of the season, in a year where Washington could feasibly win this division. I'm not sure they're, like, likely going to win, but it's definitely possible in the mess that is the NFC East. So, you know, if there ever was a year for him to, you know, grab the reins and not let go until the playoffs, it's this year, I would think.
I think you're right. I don't know, Show. You don't want a tall, frosty glass of Heinicke? Huh? A little Taylor Heinicke right there?
Hard pass.
Always smooth. Always smooth. Anyway, and we'll get into the Washington matchup a little bit later on. But remember, folks, Curtis Samuel, injured reserve.
Yeah.
To me, what that means, Show, that drives up the stock of Antonio Gibson, because Samuel could be, depending on how he's used. Now, you could use him as a straight wide receiver, but in college and a little bit in Carolina, he was a gadget guy. So that made me a little bit nervous. Like, okay, well, is that going to take away from Gibson? What does it mean for Terry McLaurin? Well, when you look at the rest of the wide receiver depth chart, you have Adam Humphries, slot guy. Okay, not fantasy relevant, really. And Dyami Brown, who I don't think anyone's really counting on him. So you up the value of Logan Thomas, Antonio Gibson, and Terry McLaurin. So fantasy-wise, taking Curtis Samuel out of the equation, while we like the flash of the guy and what he could do, just from a simplistic standpoint, I think it makes Washington every piece fall in order where you more can expect what to happen.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, I think you were all starting Logan Thomas, Antonio Gibson, and Terry McLaurin anyways, right? Especially those last two. Like, maybe you weren't starting Logan Thomas if you had Travis Kelce or Darren Waller or something like that. But if you didn't have one of those two guys, chances are you're starting Logan Thomas over virtually every other tight end, depending on where you drafted guys and so on, right? Not everyone does what we do and roster two tight ends, for example, right? But if you only have one and Logan Thomas is your guy, you're going to be very happy, you know, relatively considering that the Curtis Samuel is out, because it definitely will mean a boost for him in part, and definitely for Scary Terry owners, because, I mean, you thought Scary Terry was going to get a big boost in numbers because Ryan Fitzpatrick likes to throw the ball down the field. Well, he's going to be doing it even more to Scary Terry now that Curtis Samuel is on the IR.
That's right. And with that solid backfield, teams will have to respect it. Show, I just want to go through this Houston Texans, to go swing back to the Texans for a second. The running back depth chart. Have you seen this thing?
Unfortunately,
Oh, my, folks. Okay, now I don't know if any texts on the people text line are going to come into 590-590 or on Twitter. But I'm going to tell you, blanket statement right now. If in any of your questions you include the names, should I start Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, David Johnson, or God help you, Rex Burkhead, the answer to all of them is no. It's no. And then I'll say no again and put an exclamation point, maybe capitalize it all. No, that is possibly the worst fantasy football committee in the league, Show. Like, they're already unlikable from fantasy-wise. Now you put that running game in, and they're going to be down by a ton. We know that. Yeah. They're going to be playing catch-up. Like, that is the worst committee in football. That is a legit four-headed committee. Oh, that's awful.
I legitimately think, Andy, the reason I like Brandon Cooks a decent amount this year, and I know we've talked about him already, but the reason I like him from a fantasy standpoint is simply because you mentioned that you're going to be playing from behind a lot, because this is a bad team, right? It's a bad team.
Correct.
with a suboptimal quarterback, to be generous, right, to Mr. Tyrod Taylor. But I think because of all of those things that are going to combine for the Texans this year, the negative game flow, the negative game script that they're probably going to be playing in virtually every single moment of every single season will lend itself, I think, pretty well to them trying to get Brandon Cooks, a guy who has had 1,000-plus yards in five of the last six seasons, right? Like, they're going to do everything humanly possible to get this guy the ball. They're going to get it to him on screens. They're going to get to him on checkdowns. You're going to get him down the field, you know, up the field, whatever you want, right? He's going to be the most, like, he very well could be the most targeted player in the NFL this season for no other reason than he has to be, essentially.
He has to be. Yeah, that's a great point. Some notable question marks and outs for today. This coming from Adam Schefter of ESPN. Odell Beckham Jr. will be a game-time decision. Now, he has looked healthy, and y'all know how closely I follow the Browns. Every step of the way, he has looked great. I know, this just in. He's looked healthy, but he did not play a preseason game. He has not really taken any contact. So they don't know if he plays, and if he does, I believe he will suit up. But how much coming off that ACL tear? So that's a big question with OBJ. Some other players who are out, we mentioned Deshaun Watson, Jamison Crowder definitely will not play. Evan Engram, last year's darling. Whew. No, not this year. Defensively, Anthony Barr. You have Christian Darrisaw, rookie offensive lineman. Trey Waynes, Rodney McLeod, Star Letulier, Jalen Hurd, Taylor Decker, Eric Fisher, Xavier Rhodes, Traquan Smith, and Eddie Goldman. Those are the early outs for Sunday,
okay,
in case that does affect your fantasy team.
I think one big out that I'm not sure if you mentioned, because there were a whole slew of names there, Andy, but one guy who is for sure out, who was ruled out as recently as Sunday, or pardon me, as Wednesday, was Cincinnati cornerback Trey Waynes. Trey Waynes has also been ruled out for that
yes,
matchup.
Yeah, we got that in there, yeah.
Okay, cool. So I believe the Vikings are playing the Bengals this week, which means that, I mean, I think that makes Kirk Cousins a slightly more attractive option if you're looking for whether it's a QB streamer or whether you're in a 2QB league. I think you're probably starting Kirk Cousins anyways against the Bengals because they have a pretty horrific defense. But that would bode well for someone like, if not Justin Jefferson, it definitely bodes well for at least Adam Thielen, because it opens up both of these guys a little more. And, I mean, Dalvin Cook is going to eat regardless, right? We already know that, right? He's gonna get a whole ton of carries, and maybe this means they check it down to him a teensy bit more, but I think I like the idea that no Trey Waynes means that Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen all get a slight bump in whatever rankings, whatever format league you're in.
So I know Vegas knows typically, okay. Vegas knows, so maybe there's something we don't know.
Sure.
However, I'm looking at this line right now for Vikings versus Bengals, mm-hmm, and Minnesota is only a 3-point favorite. Can I say, take that gif with Fry from Futurama? Take all my money? Like, oh, please. A 3-point favorite for the Cincinnati Bengals, who, you like you said, Trey Waynes is out. You have Joe Burrow, who is still spooked from that injured knee, and all the Vikings in place? Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, you said Dalvin Cook. Am I missing something? Like,
I guess,
that seems like the lock of the week.
I guess only because it's in Cincinnati, right? Like, if this game was in Minnesota, I bet it would be also because, I mean, if you look at the odds for virtually every game, like basically outside of, let's see, the Bears-Rams game on Sunday night and the Browns-Chiefs game, every other game, like more or less every other game, I guess the Steelers-Bills game is 1-2, 49ers-Lions, you might expect, but every other game today, Dolphins-Patriots, Eagles-Falcons, Jets-Panthers, Chargers, Washington, everything is either a 3.5-point favorite or less, which is, I guess maybe that's just the week one effect of, you know, not everyone just being hedging a little bit, right? Because you want to wait to see what all these teams look like. But I agree with you. Hey, I agree with you. If you believe that Cincinnati is still not a very good team on defense, which I think is going to be the case, and that Minnesota is still loaded on defense, and they have Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and all the pieces that you believe are going to be fantasy relevant this year, then hey, I mean, yeah, smash that over button, or smash that Minnesota Vikings bet button.
I just don't see, unless someone sneak attacks Kirk Cousins with a steel chair before he comes out of the tunnel, how that line is at 3. Wow. Okay. Anyway, hey, there you go. Maybe Vegas knows some. Maybe we'll be looking at it and Cincinnati pulls it out at the end, and who knows. Let's go over this Thursday nighter. What a start to the year. And I'll say this. The Dallas Cowboys, now Tom Brady, your old guy, your old flame, mm-hmm, from the Pats, right? Man,
I still carry the torch, Andy. Still do it.
He just finds a way. He just finds a way. There were turnovers. The offense, especially the first quarter, the first couple of drives, just like mid-season form on the money. Then he had some fumbles, some interceptions. And in the end, he just finds a way to get it done. It's I don't, not that I ever doubted them. I thought the Bucks would win, but the fact that it was that close and the Cowboys let it slip away was, you couldn't ask for a better start to the year.
Yeah, absolutely, right? It was an absolutely terrific way to get off to the new season. I think Roger Goodell was probably like clapping his hands in glee whenever he saw, you know, either Dak Prescott or Tom Brady get set up to go down the field for a drive. So Brady ended up with he threw the ball 50 times, 5-0, 50 times. Ooh. With 379 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. I mean, I know this sounds like I'm being a Brady apologist, but I'm not going to say that either of those 2 interceptions were on him. I mean, one interception was he checked it down to Ronald Jones, and I don't know how that ball got out of Ronald Jones' hands. It kind of like flew up in the air on a screen, too. It like flew up in the air, and then it got picked off by one of the waiting Dallas Cowboys on the other side. And then the other interception was, I believe, at the end of the first half, where he just chucked the ball down the field and got like kind of arm punted it into the end zone, and it got picked off, right? So I'm not like, if you're, that definitely hurts your fantasy score, no doubt about it. But I mean, I don't think you have too much to complain about if you got 379 yards and 4 passing touchdowns from Tom Brady on the Thursday night, the very first game of the NFL season. I when it comes to the rushing attack here, right? I mean, 9 carries for 32 yards for Leonard Fournette and 4 carries for 14 yards for Ronald Jones Jr. Ronald Jones II, pardon me. It's not great. Not great. I hope. I mean, neither of those two guys were drafted very, very highly to begin with, but I mean, I don't think they're, I'm sure they're going to have value as the season goes on. But I mean, if the early season returns on these two guys are anything to be believed, then it's going to be exactly the same headache it was last year, essentially. And now you're adding in guys like Giovanni Bernard into the mix as well.
Well, Bernard saw next to no action, just 2 catches. So you throw him in there, and that's what we were talking about when we did the Buccaneers preview show. You can't trust these guys. Sometimes it might be Jones. Sometimes it might be Fournette. Or in this case, sometimes it might be neither. And that might be the worst part. Sometimes nobody is going to rush the football. And Ronald Jones, that was a bad start to the year. That was a brutal game for Ronald Jones. What might be more concerning, because like you said, it's not like anybody was counting on Jones or Fournette to be their lead dog. A lot of people were counting on Ezekiel Elliott. And that's 11 carries for 33 yards. The usage is down for week one. Why? He had a couple catches too, but you know, PPR, I guess, would help you a little bit. But nothing exciting out of Zeke. Couple of gadgety plays from Tony Pollard. He took 3 carries away. So, you know, and 4 catches. Pollard being worked into that offense a little bit more. Michael Gallup went down with a foot injury, so we have to track that. But how worried do you think we should be about Ezekiel Elliott? Like, a week one little blip, or you know, maybe working him back. I don't know, that usage was very concerning to me.
You know what, I'll say this, Andy, I'm not, until we see it happen again, I'm not super concerned about Zeke, only because he was actually on the field for almost every single snap. He just didn't rush the ball a lot because the Cowboys, you know, they had those COVID issues before the season. It was like 7 Cowboys, including some of their offensive tackles, had been placed on the COVID list. And then they're going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have guys like Devin White and Levante David and Antoine Winfield and Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett and a bunch of guys who are capable of more than capable, as you saw in the Super Bowl, right, of rushing the passer, you know, with aplomb. So I think by and large, Zeke was used almost exclusively as a blocker because they needed to, right? They like didn't really have anyone else back there. I think it's for that reason I'm not worried. I think we're going to have to wait and see until next week, because I think I had seen that Lyle Collins was suspended, I want to say, for, was it 5 games or a couple games because of, was it either substance abuse or PEDs or something like that? So if that does have some kind of lasting effect, that might mean more Zeke as a blocker, which is not good for your fantasy team, obviously, unless you get, like, you know, points per block or something like that. A PPB league? Are you in anyone in those leagues? I don't think so, right? So
Probably not, right? Not for your redraft.
So I think we just got to wait and see if he's continually deployed as a blocker, because we know Ezekiel Elliott is extremely talented, but if you drafted Zeke with a top 5 pick or a top 7 pick or whatever, that's not what you want to see. I don't think it's because he's injured or anything like that. It was just out of necessity, but I mean, if that necessity stays for the next 2 or 3 games, that's going to really impact things for people.
Yeah, that's going to really hurt. I agree. It was more game flow, but you know, the game flow happened. They play Los Angeles, Eagles, Carolina, New York, and New England before their bye week in week 7.
Okay.
Outside of the Giants, not really. And Carolina's defense isn't that great either. Like it gets easier, but that's not saying much because Tampa Bay's defense is so good. So if you're caught in a possible another shootout next week with the Chargers, which is certainly possible, Justin Herbert back there, Eagles and Panthers, probably not. Like, you're probably not going to be caught up in any sort of real shootout like you were in this outside of the Chargers, I think, in that next chunk of games. But yeah, that's going to be something to watch, though, because, oh boy, if Zeke goes down, that would be that, or it just doesn't even get played. That's even more concerning than an injury because he's available.
Yeah. And I mean, because as long as Ezekiel Elliott is active, you have to start him. Like, you can't just, like, that would be truly, that would take some cojones to have Ezekiel Elliott active for a game and you say to yourself, I'm benching this guy this week. Because that, like, if unless you had truly superstar running backs, whether you're in a keeper league or you just managed to draft really, really, really well somehow, that would take some real stones, I think, to not start Ezekiel Elliott when he is active in a ball game, right? So, that's going to be something we're going to have to track, I think, basically every week going forward.
Yeah, I think you're right. Show in our fan fantasy league, we're going head-to-head this
week. We are.
In week one. Now, for me, you know, I sometimes show you outthink yourself a little bit. Okay. For me, that might have been, that may have been the case because I thought going in, I was like, all right, I believe in Dak. That's why I drafted him. I believe he's doing well. And, it's going to be a great season for him. And this is actually, I have Dak in my other league. So I'm just going to flip flop for a sec. But show in my other league, what I did was I kept Dak on the bench because of the Tampa Bay defense. I was like, you know what? I drafted Jalen Hurts late. I think against Atlanta, he's going to go off. I'm looking right now on the bench in my other league, 28.42 points from Dak Prescott. So, Jalen, step up. Come on. Daddy needs you. Come on.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking at Dak Prescott and the chirp show that I've been getting. Oh, my gosh. And so I just hope Jalen Hurts like runs in three touchdowns, throws for four.
I think he's going to be good today. I mean, look, it's the Falcons defense. This is a team that just gave up almost like 4,600-plus yards through the air last year. Like, they were like dead last. I mean, I know they changed things, but still, they were dead last in the entire season. But still, shame on you for benching Dak Prescott.
Oh, boy. You know, you don't believe in Dak. So we'll see. I hope Jalen comes up. Now, in our matchup head-to-head, I have Ryan Tannehill starting. You have Patrick Mahomes against my Browns.
Let's go, Andy.
That's an extra reason for me to cheer against him. All I got to say, I hope it's a healthy diet of Myles Garrett on one side and Jadeveon Clowney on the other side, making Pat Mahomes, just like he did last year in the Super Bowl, run for 400-plus yards sideways and backwards. Let's see that.
Hey, look, Patrick Mahomes is going to annihilate the Cleveland Browns today, Andy.
I hope you're ready.
We're going to come on. I'm going to talk to you on like Sunday night when we're getting ready for the Bears-Rams game, and it's going to be just a very sad group chat. That's what it's going to be.
Oh, boy. You know what? Not the end of the world if they lose it, but let's start it with a win. We'll be going head-to-head. We're going to be starting our head-to-head matchup conversation. Fantasy football start sits. When we come back, we're going to begin with Eagles, Falcons that we just, Steelers, Bills, Vikings, Bengals, and roll on from their first Sunday of the football season. This is the Fantasy Show delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
We are back to the Fantasy Show, week one of the National Football League season. Oh, baby, it's here. Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. You can get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSAli, and at The Fantasy Show. You can ask your fantasy football questions there as well as on the People's text line, 590-590, name and location, please. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza, and folks, football and pizza, they go hand in hand, right? And why not? You know, it's week one. Why don't you treat yourself a little bit? How about this? Unlimited large two-topping pizzas. Unlimited. Many as you want for just $10.99 each. You want 50 pizzas? Do it. Sit back, chomp away, and criticize superior athletes to anything you could hope to accomplish in your own life and just scarf pizza down, right? Show just like your just like your Olympic experience, right? You're like, didn't stick the landing, and then just
Just cram pizza or pasta or the brownies into your mouth. Like, yeah, absolutely 100%. That's what we're going to be doing that from now until well into the new year, basically.
Oh, so good. I always love that, just a big slice of that. Foot wasn't in bounds. It's like, stop.
He didn't come down with that. He didn't come down with both hands. Come on.
Should have stretched. He heard footsteps. He should have been like, yeah, okay. But get your pizza. Man. Get your pizza. Get your side dishes all at Domino's. Domino's.ca. That's Domino's. rockandrollshow.ca. Okay, show. We ready to rock and roll, baby?
Let's go.
Okay, we're going to go through match by match, folks, and give you our fantasy football start sits. It is Eagles at the Falcons, so a battle of the birds. And personally, like I said in the last segment, I hope Jalen Hurts runs up and down that field because, oh boy, I needed to make up for those Dak Prescott points I have sitting on the bench. I feel, show, that in this matchup, this is a case where you have two teams who are not great. Eagles retooling on the fly. Atlanta, I'm not quite sure what the Falcons are this year, show, because unlike the Eagles, who have a young quarterback in their building, you have Matt Ryan, who is, you know, think what you want about him, an upper half quarterback at least. And the pieces around him just aren't very good on defense. It really comes down to just a couple players to me.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, so we're starting with the Eagles, I guess, right? And like you said, Jalen Hurts. I think the reason I like Hurts this week is because, as a QB1, is because like you look back to all the injuries. When he started games last year, which I want to say was week 14 against the Saints.
It was
like he only started like three games at the end of the year, and he ripped it up, right? Like, he was so good. Everyone was like, holy smokes, like, who is this kid, basically, right? And, I mean, we all knew who Jalen Hurts was, but I don't think anyone really thought or expected, maybe a better way of saying it, that he was going to just rip up the NFL in his first ever career start, essentially, right? And, I mean, you look at the things that were going on in Philly last year. I mean, Doug Peterson looked like he was embattled. He was on the hot seat, right? Zach Ertz was injured, and he was unhappy. The offensive line was not fully healthy, and now all of those things are basically gone, right? I mean, Zach Ertz is healthy. Dallas Goedert is there, as he was last year, but he's also healthy. The offensive line is as healthy as they were all of last year, basically, right? So I think you add in all of those things, I think that bodes pretty well for Jalen Hurts. Again, like I mentioned before, against the Falcons defense, that, yeah, sure, they retooled a little bit. They brought in Dean Pease, who won a couple of Super Bowls, I want to say, as a defensive coordinator for both the Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens, right? So, I mean, I think, maybe it'll be slightly better this year, but at the same time, is like a 78-year-old Dean Pease going to revamp the Atlanta Falcons defense for, like, today's NFL when the Eagles have changed things a little bit, maybe a little bit of the culture as well? I don't know. I say no. I think Jalen Hurts does some phenomenal stuff today.
Do you think his strategy is like, now watch out for that forward pass, they'll get you? You know, the laterals, but that forward pass, oof, that's taking the league by storm, folks.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Now, I believe, and I've said this show on this program, on many other programs, that Jalen Hurts, this is before he was drafted to Philly, is an underrated passer of the football. This isn't just your Lamar Jackson where he runs around and you want him to throw the ball. Jalen Hurts is a better passer, and he's going to develop, I believe, in this offseason, all accounts being that he's done very well improving in that counts. And don't just look at the completion percentage, because last year, where you're right, it was a tire fire in Philly. He was thrown in there at the last minute, pretty much had to just run for his life. But the passing, while the completion percentage was lower for a lot of it, was because he did not take a sack. Where Carson Wentz took 100 sacks, Jalen Hurts threw the ball away. That tells me, show, that is a mature thinking quarterback. Unlike your typical sort of rookie or young guy who wants to go through a wall or try to be Superman or prove himself, Jalen Hurts has more of the Russell Wilson mindset where he knows not to get hit. So the completion percentage might be a bit down, but I think the quality of the passes when they do happen and you mark in the feet are going to make Jalen Hurts a really good starting fantasy quarterback and real life quarterback. And at the receiving option side, do we go back to a couple years ago, but maybe flip-flop it where it's Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz as two top 10 tight ends? I think there's a possibility for that.
I think it's a definite possibility, right? I want to see. Look, if you have Dallas Goedert, I think you're starting him because you probably have no better option. As we've talked about, you know, tight end is so ridiculously thin in fantasy that you pretty much have to, right? But I think beyond Goedert, I want to say I have some faith in Devonta Smith, right? I mean, I know you say he's a slight guy, right, in terms of, like, physical stature. But, I mean, right now he seems to be healthy, and he's going to be playing, again, against a, you know, relatively bad Atlanta Falcons defense. And certainly looks like he's going to be drawing a guy who, in terms of coverage, in A.J. Terrell, who's not going to be that great from the metrics against the pass. He's much better against the run. So we'll see what Devonta Smith has. I think I'm going to make a Devonta Smith pick for the danger zone as a little advanced preview there, Andy. But I like Devonta Smith today. I pretty much don't want anyone else apart from Goddard and Ertz maybe, right? No on Quez Watkins right now. No on Jalen Reagor, right? No on the Warden, Greg Ward, right? No on any of those other guys. At least for now. But, you know, the guy I am actually pretty bullish on this season is Miles Sanders. I know, okay. He's probably viewed as an RB2 right now. I don't know where you are on Miles Sanders coming into this game. But again, say a bad Atlanta Falcons defense. I mean, you know, I think his draft stock has sunk so much that I think people are expecting really like basically nothing out of Miles Sanders. But you know what? When they made the switch to Jalen Hurts last year, Miles Sanders was wildly more productive than he had been in like the immediate string of games right before he had been given the start. I want to say it was something like there were three in half PPR leagues. It was like three sub 6 point games in a row for Miles Sanders until Jalen Hurts came in. And then it was immediate dividends of like double digit games basically for Miles Sanders. So, I mean, hey, it's a small sample size. I totally get it. Small sample size for Jalen Hurts as well. But if you have even like a shred of belief that Miles Sanders will be used to the dynamic level that he is capable of, then I think you might be starting a decent chunk of Eagles today.
Yeah, Sanders, especially early in the season, how Kenneth Gainwell gets worked in as the year goes on is interesting. I'm with you on Devonta Smith for this week and this matchup. For the Falcons, like, we don't like Mike Davis, folks, but you know, as far as the value you probably could have got him at in your draft, which was late, I think as an RB2 sort of just like middle of the road guy, like I think he's going to be fine. Like it's, you know, I think it's going to be okay with Mike Davis. You're not going to get excited about Mike Davis, but you're going to be fine. The big thing to watch, though, how is Kyle Pitts used?
Oh, yeah.
He's the man we've been talking about all season. I think his success or Calvin Ridley's success is tied directly to him. How Kyle Pitts develops and grows immediately is going to be crucial. So we'll wait and see on that. I'm a believer. We know that. But boy, show, we're going to have some questions. And that doesn't mean if he doesn't get you, he's 20 years old. Like he can still grow. The upside is there. I just want to more see today how he's used in the offense to give me either confidence or make me fearful going forward.
Yeah, exactly, right? I think you're starting Kyle Pitts, you're starting Calvin Ridley. I don't think we need to say too much about Calvin Ridley, right? He's going to be probably a top five wide receiver all year. He is going up against Darius Slay today, but I mean, you know, you're starting him. You're starting Calvin Ridley. You're not benching Calvin Ridley, right?
No,
so
of course.
What more do we need to say on that, right? Mike Davis, the Davis conversation is interesting to me because if Kyle Pitts and Ridley get a little more coverage than they can handle early on, at the very least, then I think that Mike Davis is going to get, especially in half and full PPR leagues, more value than you might expect. The guy caught almost 60 passes last year. So I think that actually like buoys his value a little bit in those formats more than I think people realize basically. Right. So I would have no problem starting Mike Davis today. Certainly as like an RB2 more than anything else, but still you're starting him. But yeah, I am looking forward to seeing how Kyle Pitts is deployed. I mean, all accounts as you and I have talked about will be that he is, you know, basically used as the next wide receiver instead of a true tight end, right? So,
which it would be smart.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's the case.
Exactly.
Let's move on. Steelers versus Bills. Buffalo Bills, Super Bowl aspiration. Buffalo Bills. How are you feeling, Bills Nation, listening today? Listen, we know the top dog, Josh Allen. For me and my Sportsnet fantasy rankings for quarterbacks, I have him number one. He's my top fantasy quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I paired him with Stephon Diggs, who I have as my top fantasy wide receiver in the rankings. And then outside of that show, I don't want too much of anything else on the Buffalo Bills because Josh Allen can run the ball at the goal line. We know he might be his first option. He might call his own number first before Devin Singletary or Zach Moss. Don't forget about Matt Breida, who's lurking back there as well, who's a better catcher of the football than maybe both those guys. Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, yeesh, for multiple reasons. And Dawson Knox, the tight end position is just, it hasn't been relevant in Buffalo so far this year. So I think for the Bills, that's a pretty short conversation. You want all of Josh Allen. You want all of Stephon Diggs. And then maybe you stay clear of mostly anything else as far as any sort of starter side, unless it's some sort of a, you know, DraftKings flex play that's cheap, like a Gabriel Davis or Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, exactly, right? No Dawson Knox, no Cole Beasley, no Emmanuel Sanders.
Nah.
Yeah, and like you said, Singletary and Moss, you know, the Pittsburgh rush defense is pretty good, so maybe they might have value elsewhere throughout the year, but not this week. So yeah, I think it's pretty much Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and bust. And on the Steelers side, I mean, Najee Harris, you're starting. I mean, I know on the other side of things, the Bills defense is a decent unit as well, but you're starting Najee Harris. He is the highest drafted rookie running back in quite some time. This year, I should say, right? Going back to last year, certainly. Najee Harris is an RB1. He is going to be used early and going to be used often. The question for me, Andy, more than anything else, is the kind of delineation of duties between Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Chase Claypool. I think basically, for me, I don't know where you are. For me, Johnson is like a WR2 right now, and Juju and Claypool are like flexes, I would say.
I think that is very fair, and the reason is, now if you go back 5 years with a Ben Roethlisberger younger, Chase Claypool's the top target because he can stretch the field the best. Right now, that elbow, now he had a full offseason, and the Steelers did go 11-0 last year to start, but it was largely based off dink and dunk style, which you don't expect out of Roethlisberger, but that's where you're at. So Johnson, in PPR specifically, much more value. Standard, I think the Steelers receivers far less. I just wonder with Najee Harris, and I'm with you, and with the amount of committees and the lack of true RB1s, we know at the very least, if the Steelers get to the one-yard line, Roethlisberger's not running it in, and if he doesn't throw it, it's going to Najee Harris. Yeah. If ever they run, it goes to Harris. The question is, what if the Bills come out and strike quick and they're up 14-0? Does that take away his value? It'll be interesting to see how he is also used in the passing game. That's, again, something to track and see the usage and style in this type of game. But, it's Harris and Johnson for the Steelers, and that's about it. Remember, too, four new offensive linemen in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Ben, Big Ben too, I think QB2 maybe at best, like unless you're in a 2QB league or a super flex league, I don't think Big Ben is getting played in any single QB leagues if you're like in a 12-team league or less, right? Like if you're in a 10-team league, you should not be starting Big Ben as your quarterback, right? Like
no.
If that's the case, there is a better option on the waiver wire, I gotta think. Unless everyone is rostering 2QBs, I don't think you're gonna be, you need to start Big Ben again unless you're in a much deeper league, let's say.
Oh, absolutely. All right, let's move on. Vikings at Bengals. Talked about this one a little bit already. If we start with Cincinnati, somehow Minnesota is just a 3-point favorite on the road. I don't understand that. I think this one should be touchdown or better. This offense and fantasy relevance rides and dies with Joe Burrow, straight up. Because if he is not back or he falters or that knee gets hurt again behind still a not very good offensive line, you took a receiver instead of the best offensive lineman in the draft, then this whole fantasy season and Bengals season is over. So Joe Burrow show, still tentative on that injured knee and multiple ligaments, very serious injury, has looked skittish, bad offensive line. Like we said, that means like Joe Mixon, that value on a better team with a better line, Joe Mixon can be relevant, but Joe, how can we rely on Joe Mixon at this point with that line in a super pass heavy, like Zach Taylor throws to a fault, the head coach, with the Bengals. He'll throw it and throw it some more. So there's not a lot of running game. It's really dicey in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it is tough, right? At the very least, when it comes to Joe Mixon, there are not a lot of other guys like siphoning carries from Joe Mixon, right? Like I think out of sheer bulk volume, Joe Mixon will probably end the year as an RB1 because there's nobody else really, right? And I think you got to think that if Joe Burrow will throw the ball as much as we think he will, and I mean I don't know if it's going to be like Tom Brady, Dak Prescott on Thursday night levels. Brady threw the ball 50 times, Prescott threw the ball I want to say 58 times, right? So I mean, are we going to see Joe Burrow throw the ball 58 times a game? Probably not, but it's also possible. It's also on the menu at the very least. But I think Joe Mixon will carry enough value to, like, in a weekly basis, make him like you can't bench Joe Mixon, if only because you probably had to draft him high enough that you don't really have anyone else to start over him, basically, right? So I think that's the trouble with Joe Mixon, essentially, because he's going to cause you some headaches, I'm sure, throughout the rest of the season. And of course, the wide receiver matchups here. I mean, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase. I'm not like I think I would probably sit Jamar Chase this week, right? He's reportedly had some struggles in training camp. He didn't seem to be super motivated after his year off, right? And then that basically leaves you with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, both of whom you could probably start this week. But if you had to pick just one, I'm actually starting T. Higgins against you, actually, in our family.
Oh.
So I love me some T. Higgins. But still, I think at best, he's probably a WR2, I would say.
Well, so here's what was concerning to me, to your point with Jamar Chase. He was like, did you see these comments? He was like, yeah, the football doesn't have the stripes on it. Like in college, I couldn't quite see it. I'm like, what? What? You need stripes? Excuse me?
He was complaining about like how the football, yeah, the stripes didn't look like NFL regulation footballs. And my answer to that is, you had a year off, Jamar Chase. What on earth were you doing in a year off if not catching NFL footballs to prepare you for being drafted? Like, what is going on there?
I've never heard of that before. Like, it's kind of tough to see. It's like, you should probably work on that. You should probably work on
that. Yeah.
You should probably figure that out. I would suggest more reps, Jamar. That'd be my personal advice. But we go back to the volume of Joe Burrow show. And in 10 games last year, he averaged just over 40 passing attempts per game, including 61 in a loss to my Cleveland Browns in week two. 61. He was over 40. So he had 61 in week two. He had a totals of 44, 47, 40, and most others in the high 30s. So there's I don't know if you'll get to 50 today, but there's a possibility he is putting in a strong possibility he's putting in a lot of airtime out there. So that's let's see. So where are we at here? We got the 49ers and Lions. You want to do that one real quick, show, and then we'll take the break?
Yeah, sure, because we already talked about the Vikings, I would say.
Yeah, we talked the Vikings. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Bengals defense stinks. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
49ers at Lions. Boy, now the Lions, show, 49ers defense, real good. We know that when healthy, and they've been sort of still kind of banged up a little bit through camp, not nearly as dire as years past. But for the Lions, what comes down to me, remember, Matthew Stafford, he's out in L.A. So different looking offense. The benefactors of the dink and dunk style are going to be T.J. Hockenson and DeAndre Swift. Everybody else is just a guy. I think all the other wide receivers, you're just hoping that one catches a touchdown. But I don't really see any clear path out of true starting playmakers on that Lions offense other than my guy, DeAndre Swift, and T.J. Hockenson, the tight end. So even though that Niners defense it's still pretty formidable. They are still banged up.
Yeah.
Kinlaw, who's doubtful and all that, and cornerbacks. And that's really where I go. I want Hockenson, Swift, that's about it.
Yeah, I think I'm probably the same way, right? Tyrell Williams is the de facto number one wide receiver there, but I mean he wasn't great as the number one option for the Raiders, and now he's basically in the same role with probably a lesser staff around him, right? So yeah, I want nothing part of Tyrell, no part of Tyrell Williams, no part of Khalif Raymond, no real part of Amon-Ra St. Brown, which is also, I want to say, an absolutely amazing name, but I want no part of that for fantasy football standpoints. Like you said, T.J. Hockenson, you got him. You're starting him. Probably going to be a top three tight end this year. Top five at worst, I would imagine. DeAndre Swift is probably like the highest end RB2 and maybe gets a bump into the low end RB1 category if you're in a half or full PPR. And I'm sitting Jared Goff. I'm sitting him. I mean, no one's starting him, I think, outside of the deepest of leagues, much like the Ben Roethlisberger conversation. And then you got on the other side, on the 49ers. I mean, did you see this, that Trey Lance might actually play today, not as a starting quarterback, but like in the Taysom Hill-style gadgetry offense? Are you excited for this, Andy?
Here we go. I am. don't, Kyle Shanahan, don't you make me hate on Trey Lance. Don't do it. Don't make me do that. No, I think at the very least, though, Trey Lance can throw the football. It doesn't look like, you know, your neighbor chucking you a pass like with Taysom Hill in the backyard. He's throwing the football back to the kid and it's a bit wobbly. That's going to be fascinating. You should not be starting Jimmy Garoppolo regardless.
Yeah, agreed.
Trey Lance, if you have him, you keep him on the bench for now. Really, the question then becomes, show, you got a committee situation. Raheem Mostert should start the year. Trey Sermon started in the third string role, has moved his way up to second. He will, I believe, take over, whether by injury or by performance. Week one, maybe it's going to be committee-based. Out of the wide receivers, I like Deebo Samuel over Brandon Ayuk, who's banged up a little bit. Kind of the same type of guy, but Deebo's more developed right now. Mohamed Sanu, you got to show me, man. This guy hasn't done anything in like 2-3 years. And of course, fully healthy right now, we know that offense passing-wise, at least with Jimmy Garoppolo under center, is going to flow through George Kittle. So I'm interested to see how he comes back after an injury-plagued season.
Yeah, Kittle was on pace for 120 targets or more last season before he got injured. So I think, slot him in there, you'll probably be okay. And when it comes to the running game, I think you could probably get away with starting Trey Sermon today as well as Raheem Mostert, and they'll both be RB2s, only because Detroit bid basically nothing to shore up their rush defense from last year. They look to be, we talked about the Texans having negative game flow. I bet the Lions are going to be in more often than not negative game flow all season long. And last year, Andy, the Lions gave up on average, okay, I'm not talking about like overall, on average, The Lions gave up over 130 yards rushing a game, and they were dead last in the NFL with 27 rushing touchdowns allowed. That is insane. Like, that is, and then here comes basically the worst possible matchup for them, maybe in the entire NFL, because of how the zone running style of Kyle Shanahan, running the ball as much as humanly possible, and probably more so because Trey Lance is not the bona fide starter just yet. It's Jimmy G, and we know that, I mean, we've seen in the past Jimmy G throw the ball like, what, 9 times a game, and have the ball be run like 40 plus times. So if that's what happens against the abysmal Detroit Lions rush defense, there is legitimately room for both Mostert and Sermon to actually produce today.
It's going to be very interesting to see that dynamic between Garoppolo, Lance, how that plays out. And like you said, the running game. All right, we're going to take the break, continue our game by game fantasy football start, sits, Danger Zone picks coming up. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza, and you're listening to the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Back to the Fantasy Show, week one of the NFL season. Every single game fantasy football starts, sits. If you miss any of our picks from earlier in the show, we'll tweet out the link at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at the Fantasy Show a little bit later on, as well as on our sportsnet.ca show page. We're going to keep going here, show, and we have Cardinals at Titans. I think this is going to be an underrated, fun game to watch, because both are, you know, not prime time markets and maybe not the sexiest matchup, but when you look at the fantasy pieces, man, you get Kyler Murray, who was the top fantasy producer a year ago. How does he come into his third year? Chase Edmonds, James Conner, what does that look like? DeAndre Hopkins should still be the target hog that he was before, and we still hate the tight ends on Arizona. It should be a fun year.
Yeah, exactly. No, are you starting Max Williams in any of your leagues?
Woo!
No, absolutely not.
How about Darrell Daniels?
Oh, gosh, no. Hard pass. Hard pass on the Arizona tight ends, Andy. Hard pass on A.J. Green, I think, I would probably say
not
as well.
Interested.
I'm curious to see, because, look, what do we need to say about DeAndre Hopkins at this point? He's a start. He's a monster. You're starting him no matter what, essentially. Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore interest me because, like, I'm not starting them this week, certainly, but I'm curious to see how that shakes out, because I think there is going to be value with Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore. I legitimately think they are going to be very, very good, but I just need to see how the depth chart shakes out to see who the number two guy behind Hopkins is going to be. Because, I mean, could it be AJ Green? I guess, but I don't think you should bet on that. Let's put it that way.
That guy's done. I'm telling you, Joe. No way. He mailed in the last 2 years. He's collecting a paycheck in Arizona.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk PPR out of the slot, I think, is a great find. Andy Isabella can, like, Andy Isabella is going to be annoying in fantasy, because I think he can get like just enough to sort of like mess things up when it comes
should
to
should we start
Moore
Andy Isabella this week? Yeah. Like.
Yeah. It's like you're not going to, but he's going to come in and be almost like maybe a wide receiver version of Rex Burkhead. Like, just do enough to ruin your day.
Yeah.
You know, if you have one of those other guys. Just enough. Tennessee Titans, look, you know, and like with the Cardinals, you're going to start Kyler Murray, obviously. You say what you want. We keep telling you. The Tana thrill, the dude you can start with confidence, and I think even more so, and show how Julio Jones works into this offense is going to be very interesting, because I truly believe his addition opens up that whole offense and makes things better for everybody. You cannot double team AJ Brown. You cannot stack the box against Derrick Henry. And even if you do, he'll run through you regardless. It's the tight ends you're not touching. Oh, I'm just looking on the depth chart. Jeff Swaim he's overtaken Anthony Firkser, the vaccine.
Really?
He's taken over for Firkser in the depth chart, Joe. Wow.
Even if he has, I don't think that, like, I do think that Ryan Tannehill is going to be throwing the ball a teensy bit more. I mean, Derrick Henry has had 718 total touches over the last two regular seasons.
Ooh.
700 plus touches for Derrick Henry. I'm not saying that's going to necessarily make it so that he's going to be bad this year. He's going to be very good. Obviously, he's an RB1. But when it comes to the passing game, the wide receiver core, the catching group, I don't really think that beyond Julio Jones, you're really just throwing a dart, I think, on a game-to-game basis, right? Like, you're starting A.J. Brown, and Julio, I think, still has the ability to turn in big-time performances here and there. But if A.J. Brown is a WR1, then Julio is like a middle-of-the-road, to me, WR2, just because we got to see exactly how many times Tannehill throws the ball and to whom.
Yeah, I think if you have in a three QB or a wide receiver league, if you can have Julio as your three, I think you're in phenomenal shape.
Sure.
As a flex for
sure.
So the more I think of it, the more I really want Jeff Swaim to jump in, because it's almost like swim, and I want to be like, jump in the deep end with me, show. Let's go for a Swaim. It's where it'll grow on you.
Okay.
It'll grow on you. Come on. And I might be mispronouncing it too, but maybe we'll look that up. But Swaim, let's go for a Swaim today, show. Tennessee Titans, we know. We know what to do. Cannonball in to the deep end with that. Maybe that'll be my danger zone pick.
Okay.
All the tight end points right there. Okay, let's roll through this last one real quick, and we'll hit the top of the hour. Jets at Panthers. Zach Wilson time and his tiny little boy shoulders are in for the Jets. How does he take a hit? God, that suit. Just get a better suit. Get a better tailor. Zach Wilson. I just can't. I could never start Zach Wilson off of how he looked on draft night. It was ridiculous. There's not a lot to like on this Jets team show. I kind of like real life wise as far as a build. I think they might be on the right track. I love Robert Saleh coming over as a head coach possibility. But running back Tevin Coleman gets the start. I like him today. But you have Ty Johnson and Michael Carter who will siphon work as the year goes on. And I don't know about you, but Corey Davis as a wide receiver last year, that had contract year written all over it. I want no piece of Corey Davis, who really outside of last season when he knew he would go somewhere else to get paid, has largely been disappointing.
Well, you know what? I'll say this about Corey Davis. I actually like Corey Davis today only because Jameson Crowder's on the COVID IL list. So Zach Wilson has to throw the ball to somebody, right? Elijah Moore is definitely startable, I think, as a flex play, right? But as a rookie, a rookie-to-rookie connection, I don't think, it's certainly possibly buck the trend, but historically, I don't think that's provided, a ton of value. So if you want to bet on someone, if you're trying to crush, a player prop, I would take the over on Corey Davis receptions and targets and so on today, because I think that Davis is going to be peppered with targets. And on the other side of things, I mean, hashtag revenge game for Sam Darnold, right? I mean, he's coming in to play his former team. I know the head coach, staff, and all that stuff is virtually completely different, right? But at the same time, Sam Darnold is going to want to acquit himself very well today, I think, against the organization that didn't really help him out a whole ton since drafting him very highly, right? So I actually like Sam Darnold today as a QB2, I legitimately think those kinds of narratives, that's real. Revenge game narratives are real, right? And I think
Correct.
That anytime the Panthers do anything today, the cameras for this game will be panning over immediately to Sam Darnold. And there's going to be every little bit of every reaction, every fist bump, every eyebrow raise. You're going to see that on the air. So I like Sam Darnold. Maybe a good DFS play, perhaps. More than an actual redraft league. But I love me some Sam Darnold. You're starting Christian McCaffrey. What more needs to be said there? And you're starting DJ Moore. It's just the question, I think, for the Panthers offense, Andy, is really how much do you want to bet on Robbie Anderson? Because it's not the offense we saw last year, right? Robbie Anderson probably had a little more value than DJ Moore last year because of the way Teddy Bridgewater plays. But this year it could be flip-flopped a little bit.
Well, so I'm for DraftKings this week, I might be looking for one of the contests to do a little Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson stack.
Ooh, okay.
Ex-Jets stack. They have that connection, right? And now it wasn't much of a connection because the Jets stunk under Adam Gase, but Robbie Anderson with Sam Darnold, there is that familiarity. So maybe at first he goes back to Anderson. Let's not count out Terrace Marshall Jr., who I really like long-term for this season. But I wouldn't mind doing a little Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson, Jets revenge game stack today for DraftKings. I think that might be interesting.
I think, because you're not starting. I mean, like I said, you're already starting DJ Moore. You're probably waiting also on Terrace Marshall Jr., right? I mean,
you want to see how it plays.
Yeah. I think in the future, dynasty wise, I like me some Marshall Jr. And I mean, Dan Arnold,
no.
Pass.
Hey,
pass
Arnold,
today.
No.
Yeah, no.
No, there's no, and that offense just doesn't use tight ends that much. So let's take the break. When we return, we're going to hit pause briefly on the football talk. Dauber hockey contest, fantasy hockey contest. We'll tell you about that. We'll take some text from the people's text line. Your fantasy football questions, 590, 590, and roll on. And our fantasy football starts and sits for the week. But hockey giveaway time. Dauber hockey. Boss or toss next on the Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour two of the Fantasy Show kicks off right now, Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. You can get us on Twitter. Get those fantasy football questions in at AndyMC81, at SNSAli, and at The Fantasy Show. You can also hit us up on the People's text line, 590-590, name and location, please. But Show, before that, it's time for Boss or Toss, presented by Dauber Hockey, the latest game sweeping the Fantasy Show Nation. We're going to give you a player and a scenario. Last week, we did Austin Matthews for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And all you have to do for this situation is enter in via the text line with the word boss or toss with your name and location, of course, of which player you think. Well, Show, you're going to give us the player. And then whether you agree, if you agree, it's boss. If you disagree, it's toss. And we're going to have a random draw. So we did a Toronto player last week. We're going to go and do a Calgary Flames player this week, Show.
Absolutely. So you ready for my take, Andy?
Let's go.
All right, so here we go. So Jacob Markstrom, I wanted to do a goalie take. We don't do goalie stuff too often on The Fan, I would say, right? So I wanted to do a goalie one. Since the beginning of the 2017-2018, Jacob Markstrom has had total, right? And this obviously goes back to his career with the Canucks, certainly, right? But total, including last season, he has had 8 shutouts, right? He grabbed a career high, shockingly, 3 shutouts as an NHL goalie last season in 2020-2021. So boss or toss, Markstrom will have 4 or more shutouts in the 2021-22 NHL season. So essentially, boss or toss, he's going to set a new career high for shutouts in a single season as a Calgary Flame this coming NHL season.
I dig it, man. I'm going to go boss.
All right.
I don't think it's by much, but I think he gets 5.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think that's too unreasonable.
Yeah, I think he gets 4 or 5. Markstrom is phenomenal. Like, I think he legitimately has a case to be maybe not the best goalie in the NHL. That probably is like Andrei Vasilevskiy or Hellebuck or what have you. But, I mean, he's not like that far off. He's probably a top 5 goalie, top 7 goalie at worst, probably, right? So I think Markstrom, I think, has a real chance. So, again, yeah, if you think he is going to set a new career high for shutouts as a Calgary Flame, you say boss. If you think otherwise, it's toss.
It's tossed. That's right. And so you can text in. If you're in Toronto, text 590-590. You're in Calgary, 960-960. You're in Vancouver, 650-650. And really, if you're anywhere in between, just pick whichever text line you want.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't really matter. But text into one of those, name and location, with boss or toss for that particular pick. And you also have another way to enter. You can find the contest page on each of the Sportsnet Radio Twitter feeds. And you can follow the rules to enter right there on the contest pages. So you can also go download the Dauber Hockey Fantasy Guide now at dauberhockey.com. Get ready. Fantasy hockey season's right around the corner.
It's true.
Like, NHL's right here, too. Yeah. We're all excited about football, but hockey's coming back quick. So Dauber Hockey Fantasy Guide you can get at dauberhockey.com, dauberhockey.com, and win your league. you can also win over your friend's show with some Domino's pizza today for football.
So right? True.
If you're having $7.99 mix and match menu, pizza, side dishes, desserts, make it a football. I'm getting hungry right now. Domino's.ca. That's Domino's.ca. Let's get into the People's Text Line Show. What fantasy questions have we got coming in?
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, if we don't get to your question on the air, we will. Andy and I will take a time out of our valuable Sundays before kickoff. And I'm going to call Andy after the conclusion of the show, and we will answer every single question you send us at 590-590. Okay, so if we don't get it to on the air, you will still get an answer from us via the text line. Let's get to a couple here right off the top. I see Ben from Thornhill. Happy football season, boys. He says a PPR wide receiver question. Okay, so we have to pick 2 of these following wide receivers. Okay, Andy? So 2 of these guys, full PPR, Jarvis Landry, DJ Shark, Sterling Shepard, Chase Claypool, Elijah Moore, Devontae Parker. He says, don't laugh at my selection. My WR1 was Amari Cooper, and I drafted heavy on the RBs. So thank you.
Oh,
so again, so 2 of the PPRs, Jarvis Landry, DJ Chark, Sterling Shepard, Chase Claypool, Elijah Moore, Devontae Parker.
Give me Landry and Chark. I like the game flow for both of those. I think with Jacksonville, it's just they're facing a terrible opponent. So I think that's a great opportunity for Chark to really shine. And Jarvis Landry, even though it's a run-heavy offense against the Chiefs, like, it should be a shootout-type scenario, which is going to bode well for Jarvis Landry owners in PPR. Because he's not going to take one to the house, but he gets a lot of touches. So I think you go with Landry and Chark.
And I mean, there's a real chance that Odell is not 100%, right? I mean, that's the case, then Landry is the de facto number one wide receiver, right? So I'll say Landry and Chark as well. I think DJ Chark's going to have a phenomenal season. Honestly, like,
The Texans today, Sean.
Yeah, they're playing the Texans.
Like,
and don't forget, the Texans just traded away Bradley Roby. Like, last week, they traded away their best defensive back. He's not on the team anymore. They're even a worse team than they were last week, Andy. So, of course, I'm starting Chark. I'm starting Marvin Jones. Like, give me all the Trevor Lawrence pass catch. They're going to be phenomenal today.
Show over under one win for the Texans this year.
You know what? I'll say over only because it's like they're going to fluke into one here. They're going to win like two. The over will be 1.5. They'll win two. That's what's going to happen this year.
That's gross. That's a gross franchise. All right. Let's get to a couple other here.
I see Jeremy. Yeah, let's do it. People's text line 590-590. Jeremy from Moncton, New Brunswick. I got a couple trade offers this week. Andy, he wants to get your thoughts on, Leonard. He wanted to trade Pittman Jr. and Gerald Everett for Travis Kelce. I rejected both of that trade, but I want to know what your thoughts were. Obviously, Jeremy was right to reject that trade, I would imagine.
So he'd be the one. He has Kelce, so it would be him trading away Travis Kelce, right?
Exactly.
Is that how I read it?
Yes.
Oh, no. I was going to say, if you could get Travis Kelce for that, then yes. Oh, God. Yes. Go. But no, you don't trade away Travis Kelce almost for any reason. It would have to be the king's ransom of ransom to trade away Travis Kelce. So you were right to reject that for sure.
Let's get to another couple texts here. I see Eddie and Angus. He wants to know one question in week one, flex standard scoring. So we're picking one of these guys in standard scoring, okay? Kareem Hunt, Jerry Jeudy, or Elijah Moore?
I like Jerry Jeudy. I think, like you said, show the rookie to rookie. I'm really bullish on Elijah Moore long term. I think he's going to have his opportunities today. But Jerry Jeudy, a little more established. You have Teddy Bridgewater, who we saw can distribute the football. Not fantasy relevant himself as a quarterback, but he can distribute the football very well, and I think you have a good chance today with him. So I like Jerry Jeudy now and for the season.
I like Jerry Jeudy as well. I like that, especially between like in standard scoring between Kareem Hunt, Jeudy, and Elijah Moore. I like that
standard
one there.
For sure.
Yeah, standard for sure. And I like here a half PPR flex. So we're picking one of these guys: Javonte Williams, Marquez Callaway, Latavius Murray, or Jalen Waddle. You're going with Waddle? Okay. All right. I'm going Callaway. I'm going Callaway. He's like the de facto, not even the de facto. He is the number one wide receiver in New Orleans. And Jameis Winston throws the ball deep. But you know what? Jalen Waddle, I think, is going to carry a lot of value. I'm unsure of how the Patriots will defend a young group like the Miami Dolphins this week. I know that sounds like I'm a huge homer or whatever, but it's just the Patriots, even in a bad 2020 season, were still one of the better defenses in the entire NFL. They were like seventh best or something in the NFL last year. So I'm generally speaking fading a lot of Dolphins today. I'll put it that way.
With William Fuller still out, Will Fuller, you have Jalen Waddle with the half PPR. I just think you got that comfort level from college. And if it was standard, I'd say no. But half or full PPR, I think Jalen Waddle is going to get a lot of work, even if it is sort of like just over the middle and just quick little outs to game plan the Patriots. So I personally like Waddle on there, but I hear you. The Pats are always going to game plan. Okay, let's get to a couple other texts.
All right, well, a couple quick hitters here. So Jason from Brooklyn, full PPR. Should I play it safe with OBJ or swing for the fences with Waddle in the flex?
You got to track OBJ. I personally, folks, I don't think he's going to be getting a full workload today. I don't. I would say you go Waddle and go that way. First game back off of ACL, he could, but I don't think he's getting a full workload today. I would go Waddle.
I'm going to say, for that one, I'll say Waddle as well, because like you said, I don't think OBJ is 100%. I don't even think that the OBJ of, one-handed catches over Dallas Cowboys in the past, that OBJ might be gone, honestly, right?
So we haven't seen it for years.
Yeah, we haven't seen it in a long time. So I think I'm with you on that one for Waddle. Alex from Brampton, PPR, two questions. In the flex spot, Pittman Jr. or Tyler Boyd? And for the second one, Kareem Hunt or Trey Sermon? So the first one, so full PPR, Andy, flex, Pittman Jr. or Tyler Boyd for the first one?
I think you go Pittman as the top guy there. It's going to be spread out. You got T. Higgins. There's still Jamar Chase, even though we talked about him. So I want to see how I love Tyler Boyd, but I want to see how that distribution gets sorted out first. So I think you go Pittman.
And then the second one was Kareem Hunt or Trey Sermon. Again, full PPR.
I think you go Kareem Hunt. Dude scores a lot of touchdowns. And he is the better. He's a handcuff with utility. Sermon, I think, will have his place today. You were talking about as well, is Trey Lance going to be mixed in to some gadget stuff? Like, I need to see how that plays out, Joe. We know Kareem Hunt, again, versus his former team, is going to be used, is going to be extra motivated, and is going to be dangerous. So I think you go Hunt.
All right, last one before we get back to the start sits. Mark from Toronto, PPR. I need one flex, Debo Samuel or Chase Edmonds. Full PPR.
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
Woo, boy, because you got James Conner lurking. You know, give me Debo. I think best wide receiver there. It is dicey because we need to see how this plays out, but I think Debo, it can still be very relevant as the top pass catcher behind George Kittle. That's spicy, though. I do like that. I do like that question. I believe Chase Edmonds is the better hold overall when it comes to that running back spot because you can't trust the health of James Conner. But even though he can catch, we know all the targets are going to DeAndre Hopkins, right?
That's the thing, right? It's true. I'll go Edmonds only because I think there's going to be a lot of Kyler Murray running around like a maniac in the backfield and then just dumping it off or checking it down to someone like Chase Edmonds. That's the only reason, right? Otherwise, if this was, if it wasn't full PPR, I might say Debo because it's just, I truly think the 49ers, especially today, are going to run the balls down the throats of the Detroit Lions. It's going to be just a run fest in Detroit today. So that's why I'm going with Edmonds over Debo. But I think like long term, I mean, yeah, sure, Debo Samuel is absolutely the number one guy wide receiver wise in San Fran because the number one pass catcher, of course, is George Kittle.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, we'll get to your other questions a little bit later on. People's text line 590-590 on Twitter at AndyMC81 at SNSLE and at The Fantasy Show. Let's get back to our fantasy football starts. It's for every game. Up next, Seattle Seahawks at the Indianapolis Colts. And show what surprised me is, and maybe it's still sort of that lingering effect where you just kind of think of certain teams and think their defenses are really good. And while Seattle certainly isn't the worst, they're not the Legion of Boom, not by a long shot. They gave up the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers last season. So to go off the question from the texter a couple minutes ago, I like Michael Pittman Jr. And this is a big spot for him. I thought he underwhelmed last year. How does Carson Wentz look rushing back from that ankle injury? You're not with T.Y. Hilton. He's gone. So really, it's Pittman Jr., Zach Pascal, Paris Campbell out of the slot, and the tight ends Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox. No excuse from where you drafted and the expectations for Michael Pittman Jr. that he should not be the top guy. He's the biggest body guy and can be a playmaker. Can he step up and seize that role? We're going to find out.
But here's my question. Even if he is the guy, like even if he is going to be the one to step up, I'm still saying he is probably no more than like a WR2, just the way this offense is structured.
I'm with you. 100%. Is that, you know, Paris Campbell's the real wild card because he has not been able to stay healthy his whole career coming out of Ohio State a couple years ago. Has not been able to stay healthy. He was brought in to be the zippy out of the slot guy. Catch it in space and take off. Can he stay healthy? Can he do in PPR? If he is, there's a lot of value there, especially without T.Y. Hilton. Can he be that guy? I believe that, remember, it's Carson Wentz, it's Frank Reich. What was that offense built around? Philly show.
Yeah.
The tight ends, Jack Doyle, Mo Alie-Cox. For me, Mo Alie-Cox is the guy to hold on to for season long because the athleticism is better, and I believe he's sort of in that Dallas Goedert role from a couple years ago, and Jack Doyle's in the Zach Ertz, a less talented Zach Ertz, and we see Mo Alie-Cox sort of leapfrog him out there. So I think the tight ends will be heavily involved today and all season.
Yeah, we know Carson Wentz loves to throw the ball to the tight end, so I think definitely keep your eye on Jack Doyle and or Mo Alie-Cox. And yeah, I mean, we don't really need to say too much about Jonathan Taylor. He's an RB1. He's going to be a top 10 RB probably all year with upside for more. Carson Wentz probably an RB, a QB2, I would probably say, right? Because, kind of like Baker Mayfield in the sense that they're both decent, right? And I think I would probably take Baker over Carson Wentz at their stages. I know I'm preaching to the choir with you, Andy, whenever I say stuff like that. But I just, you know, Carson Wentz, you got to prove it, right? He's got to prove it, I think, before we get further on.
And let's not forget this as well, Sho. Nyheim Hines signed an extension, a pretty substantial extension this week.
Yeah.
Top 10 paid running back for Nyheim Hines? Why? Follow the money, people. Why? You have Jonathan Taylor. Marlon Mack looks like he's on his way out. Jordan Wilkins is outplaying him in camp. So Nyheim Hines, I think, is somebody you want maybe in your flex play of PPR only. You don't pay a guy that type of money for no reason. I think Nyheim Hines might be a bigger part of this offense than we're anticipating.
On the other side of things, too, I mean, I don't think we need to talk too much about Russell Wilson and or Chris Carson, right? I mean, Russell is a QB1, right? Hashtag let Russ cook, right? I'm sure he will cook early on. He's still one of the best QBs, a very safe floor. Chris Carson, also an RB1, probably like towards the lower half of the RB1 rankings, but still, I think he is maybe like the highest possible RB2, but still, you're still starting Chris Carson. You're not benching Chris Carson for whatever reason, right? Because we know the Seahawks like to run the ball. The big questions really for me, and because we also know you're starting DK Metcalf, the question for me when it comes to the rest of the Seahawks offense is just how you rank Tyler Lockett, and are you starting, if at all, Gerald Everett?
And that's it, right? Remember, too, Colts defense, really good. Really good. I want to see how Gerald Everett's using that offense. There's opportunity there for sure. As really, like, Will Disley, though, has flashed in the past. But Everett, a lot of opportunity. I just want to see how he's used. Like you said, Metcalf, yes. Lockett has sort of shrunken into that WR2, you know, like, he's been comfortably overtaken by DK Metcalf, I think is pretty safe to say. So, yeah, the usual characters, but don't sleep on that Colts defense. All right, so now we're at what? The Chargers at Washington football team. And for the Chargers, you have the reigning defending rookie of the year, Justin Herbert, or if not for a doctor's needle to the lung of poor Tyrod Taylor, would not have had that chance. I just wonder, Show, I love Herbert's skill set. I think he's a Josh Allen light right now with how he's built, sure, how he plays, what he could ascend to. But you're in a new offense in your second year as a quarterback, which typically can be a step back. So that concerns me a little bit year long. Austin Eckler, who's questionable, right? He was held out. He's got a hamstring issue. Maybe you want to fade on him. And then it's just going to be a committee of Justin Jackson, Josh Kelly. And really at wide receiver, it's going to all be about Keenan Allen. I'm still not confident in Mike Williams.
Yeah, you know what? I think the reports have been largely positive for Mike Williams, but I think this is probably the week that I'd probably fade a lot of the Chargers more than I will the rest of the season, just because that Washington defense is pretty stout, right? Like, it's not some really kind of crappy defense out there, yeah, right? I mean, like, Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, Chase Young, a whole bunch of other guys out there. I mean, how many times did we talk last year about all the first-round picks on that defense running around there, you know, looking to tear guys' heads off, right? And they're gonna want to start the season off on the right foot with Justin Herbert. So I think I'm fading basically everyone on this offense. Like, I think if you have Austin Eckler and he is healthy and active today, looks like he will be. I think you unfortunately have no choice but to play Eckler because, I mean, you know, you probably drafted him in the first round, I would imagine, depending on your league. So I think there, you know, like, you probably don't have anyone else to start over Austin Eckler. Like, I'm in that boat. I'm in that boat against you, actually. So I kind of have to start Austin Eckler this week. Yeah, I have to, Andy. I have no choice. There's nobody else on my team, basically, right? So I think that's a situation that I think a lot of people are in, especially in half or full PPR leagues. You're starting Keenan Allen, right? There's no questions there. I think of all the weaknesses that maybe there are not a lot of weaknesses, maybe a better way of saying it is for Washington, but one of their weaknesses is through the air, right? So I think Keenan Allen might be a lock, especially if Eckler is a little banged up. Keenan Allen might be a lock for like 10 or 12 plus targets today, right? So I think you're going to start Keenan Allen. And yeah, I just need to wait and see on Mike Williams. If you really have to start him, he's a flex, I guess. But no more beyond that. Jared Cook, a TE2 for me. I'm waiting and seeing on a lot of guys on this Chargers offense. And I mean, we already kind of talked about the Washington football team, right? I mean, we know you're already starting Gibson. You're starting Terry McLaurin. You're starting Logan Thomas and Curtis Samuel's on the IR, right? So there's not a lot else there to talk about when it comes to maybe J.D. McKissick, I guess, if you're want to flex a guy, but I mean that's still another wait and see approach for me.
I think McKissick still had much more value in that when you had the dink and dunk style, right?
Like, Alex Smith, Kyle Allen,
highest targeted running back more than receivers. But is that going to be the case with Fitzpatrick? I don't think so. Also, keep an eye. All cheering for Joshua Palmer out of Brampton, Ontario, with the Chargers. He's third on that depth chart, so I'm not saying you start him this week, but he's jumping right in to a starter role on this Chargers team. So it could be very interesting. And Jared Cook is so touchdown dependent. You're like, that is your, if you punted on the position, that's someone where if he doesn't score a touchdown, you're not having a day. If he did, you get him cheap in your DraftKings lineup, or you just hope. That's about it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's pretty much it. I think that's kind of where I sit. And of course, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah, I mean, like you said, he runs hot.
I want him in this week.
Cools off. But yeah, I want him against the Chargers this week. And I am starting him in one league out of sheer desperation. So there you go. Already off to a good start this year.
There you go. let's finish off this portion with the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans. We already really talked about this match already. Houston Texans, like, if just for the fact that they're going to be down by a lot, Brandon Cooks is the only play for me. You have a four-headed, I won't call it a four-headed monster show because I'm not scared of them at all. It's a four-headed, I don't know, like group of small dogs, chihuahuas, little yappy dogs there. Yeah. Just nothing. There's nothing on the Houston Texans outside of maybe Brandon Cooks just based on negative game flow. And for the Jaguars, now, we anticipate them a lot of the season playing from behind. I don't think this will be one of those situations. So I expect big days from Trevor Lawrence, from the receiving core. Marvin Jones, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people. And James Robinson, you got Carlos Hyde there. How that usage goes. Remember, Urban Meyer, former Ohio State head coach, Carlos Hyde is a Buckeye. He's going to get used. How does he get used? But this could be a big James Robinson day, especially if they get up early show and sort of grind out the clock. Could be a nice day for the running backs in Jacksonville.
I'll say this when it comes to the Houston running back situation. It's like if Mr. Burns was like, release the hounds, and then like the worst dogs came out of that shoot, right?
Yeah, those
like
old ones.
Instead of like the Dobermans, it'd be like the cuddliest dogs. You know what I mean? Like I want no part of the Houston backfield this year. Maybe David Johnson could emerge from that. But I mean, I'm not betting on David Johnson or Philip Lindsay. Mark Ingram probably going to vulture from both of them as far, you know, as with our kind
and
of
Rex
luck,
Burkhead's
right?
There.
Yeah, and Rex Burkhead. Yeah. And
Burkhead.
Even, it just really is a huge mess. Steer clear if you can. And like you said, James Robinson, RB1, Travis Etienne is injured. So he's out for the year. He's done for the season, not playing, right?
It's
James Robinson is an RB1. I agree. Carlos Hyde will get some usage because of the connection to Meyer. But I don't think it's going to be, like, it's not enough to worry me because we saw what James Robinson did last year. Yeah. Like, we got to, like, maybe Carlos Hyde will steal away some of the pass catching work from James Robinson, but I don't think that's enough to bump him out of the RB1 conversation right now. So I think until you see it happen, James Robinson has to be considered the guy on the ground. And like we mentioned before, I mean, DJ Chark and Marvin Jones Jr., I like them both. We'll have to see how LaVisca Chanoe Jr. is used in this offense, right? Like, he's like that gadgety guy, right? He could be used kind of in the run game, on screens, and in a bunch of really creative ways. So I'm curious to see what happens with Chanoe. But right now, Chark is the guy you're drafting as a starter, and he'll be used as a starter basically right away.
I agree. Let's take the break. We will come back and continue to roll through our game-by-game fantasy football starts and sits the danger zone. You can get your danger zone picks in here as well at the People's Text Line 590-590 and hit us up on Twitter as well. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. This is The Fantasy Show, and you're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Back, rolling, week one edition of the NFL season of The Fantasy Show. Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. You can get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. You can hit us up with your fantasy football questions there or on the People's text line, 590-590. Name and location, please. We go through our fantasy football starts and sits. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. And folks, if you like free pizza, perfect day, anytime really, to get into the Piece of the Pie rewards program. So you go to dominoes.ca, top right corner, you see a little blue pizza slice. Click on it, sign up for free. Anytime you spend $10 or more on dominoes.ca, you get 10 points. You get the 60 points, you get a free pizza. Come on, right? Load up today. Do it at dominoes.ca and make it a Domino's Day at dominoes.ca. All right, show. It's the most important game of the week. We know it.
Uh-oh.
It's the prime time.
Here we go.
4:25. My Cleveland Browns on the start of their epic march to glory and greatness after years wandering the desert in Kansas City versus the Chiefs. Fantasy-wise, listen, I think there is honestly, Show, a play DraftKings-wise for sure where you put Baker Mayfield in there as a bit of a value play because of game flow, which if the Chiefs do what the Chiefs can do offensively, you're going to be forced into throwing up the football quite a bit.
If that is the case, I think that Baker will be serviceable fantasy-wise, serviceable. But it's just because of the pass-catching options they have. And again, I'm not trying to crap on these guys. It's just if ODB is not, or OBJ, whatever acronym here you want to use for Odell, if he's not 100% healthy, then Jarvis Landry is the guy. And I mean, I know we all have high hopes long-term for guys like Rashard Higgins and Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think those are some good sleepers. But I mean, ultimately, it's hard to keep pace. If those are your pass catchers, it's going to be hard to keep pace with the likes of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, right? So I think that's the real trouble for me. Also, Andy, I saw this on Twitter. The Chiefs have won 6 straight season openers, and Cleveland is 0-15-1 in their last 16 Week 1 games.
Old news. That's because they stunk for the last 20 years, right? They stink for the last 20 years. Also,
I knew you'd say that. Oh, man.
Oh, but Patrick Mahomes has also not thrown an interception in the month of September.
Also, ungood for Cleveland, yes.
But you know what, Joe? All things are meant to be broken, and I think that starts today. Nick Chubb, Chiefs are not great against the run. Nick Chubb, I think you start confidently. We said in a flex spot, PPR, Kareem Hunt, definitely. And for the Chiefs, it's the usual suspects. Patrick Mahomes, duh. Tyreek Hill, yes. Travis Kelce, absolutely. I don't really like that. The Browns' run defense has gotten better with Jadeveon Clowney. Has not lived up to first-round expectations as a pass rusher, but sneaky good against defending the run. I just don't love their running back situation with Jerick McKinnon, who can catch out of the backfield. Does that take away touches from Clyde Edwards-Helaire? You have Darrell Williams lurking there. I want to see how this works out. I'm not too bullish on that backfield in Kansas City, personally.
Especially for Week 1, right? Because CEH had the ankle sprain in the preseason. And I mean, he might be fine. He might be. And I think you probably are going to start CEH maybe as like a flex player, or maybe an RB2, perhaps, is a better way of saying it. But I think until we see that he is fully healthy, you got to think that at least to start, Jerick McKinnon might cut into CEH's touches at least until he is 100% healthy. So I think I might wait on this for another week or two, but if you have to start CEH, I would consider him like a middle of the road RB2. And like you said, I mean, Hill, Mahomes, Kelce, all guys are starting. I'm apart from them, honestly, I'm not really gonna, maybe beyond filling out the end of your DFS lineup, I'm not starting Mecole Hardman or Byron Pringle. I'm passing on everyone else.
No, those are just like any year, they're a dart throw. One will pop 1 week, not for 2 weeks, and then another bit. Let's move on to long-term, we could look back at this week as a team that maybe this game helps them get into a wild card spot, or they miss it in the AFC East. Dolphins versus
the
Patriots.
Real and show game, the real one.
Please, stop. Stop it. this is a situation show Bill Belichick has not found himself in 2 decades. Rookie quarterback. Coming in,
yep.
Right? Like, this is Mac Jones. All the skill set of him, we said it during our draft preview show before the Patriots even drafted him. And it was, Mac Jones, if he goes to the Patriots, it's going to be great. If he doesn't, I don't see him working out as a starter. Everything matches up to his skill set, mindset, and everything to work out in the Patriots system. I don't think he is fantasy relevant himself, but much like, let's say, a Derek Carr or Teddy Bridgewater, he can make the pieces around him fantasy relevant and show the big question is one of, neither, or both of those high-priced tight ends that the Patriots brought in fantasy relevant? We're going to start to see that conversation today.
Yeah, I think, like, you know what? Here's my outlook for the Patriots and Dolphins. I'm basically benching virtually everyone in this matchup outside of, I think, Miles Gaskin, probably Devontae Parker on the Dolphins side of things, and I'm basically benching everyone for the Patriots outside of Damian Harris, right? Like, that's essentially where I'm at least to start, because this is going to be a slugfest. I bet this is a very low scoring game. There's going to be a lot of punting in this game. I honestly truly believe that. Mike Gesicki,
a lot of punts.
Yeah, lots of punts. If you're a fan of good punting, seeing the spin land inside the 5-yard line, you're going to love this game, because there's going to be a lot of that. Damian Harris is, again, like I said, but I've said this before when we were talking about, you know, the new look Patriots offense since Cam Newton is gone. Cam Newton took over 100 rushing attempts and 22 red zone attempts last year. Over 100 attempts on the ground, Andy. Like, those have to go somewhere, right? And as we know, it's hard to predict the Patriots, the backfield, right? James White will sure to be involved in the passing game. Ramondre Stevenson probably going to be involved as well now that Sony Michel is off to Los Angeles. So, but at the same time, Damian Harris, RB2, Mac Jones, I think, is going to be, you're not going to start him, but like you said, I think he's going to be serviceable enough to give the other pieces a little bit of a boost. Long term, I do like Jacoby Myers, maybe if you're like in a full PPR league or what, but I mean, Nelson Aguilar is a little banged up, and again, like you said, we got to see how the tight end, the new look of the Boston Tea Party looks for Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, right? So that's where I'm at on that. And yeah, like I said, for the Dolphins, Myles Gaskin probably a flex, but you know, we got to see how Savon Ahmed and Malcolm Brown cut into his work. And we've already kind of talked about Jalen Waddle. Devontae Parker carries some value, but that's kind of it for me. Mike Gesicki maybe later in the year. But yeah, I just not a lot of starts in this game particularly.
I'm not that much of a believer in Tua. Maybe he can help change that conversation. He's got a lot to prove, because if he's not the guy for the Dolphins, they have the draft capital to make some significant moves going forward. So, all right, those guys, Dolphins and Pats are done. Packers versus Saints. Now, years past, show, this could be just a fantasy just surge, just all like a buffet of, oh, man, all the points and all that. What is Jameis Winston in at quarterback? How does Taysom Hill help ruin our afternoon, as he is apt to do with Sean Payton? What does this mean with, really, it's something we have to wrap our head around, show, that this Saints team is not the fantasy just smorgasbord that it was in years past. Like, Marquez Callaway can be the top guy. Does that excite me? No. Lil Jordan Humphrey? No. Deontay Harris? I'm not excited.
The Trout
Chris
Man?
Chris Hogan's lurking there?
The Trout
there?
Man, Andy? Come on.
The Trout Man? The Trout Man cometh, maybe. Chris Hogan's lurking in the background? Like, it's Alvin Kamara. That's, like, Marquez Callaway as a flex, show. Like, we have to see how this ball distribution goes with Jameis Winston.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I like Adam Trautman this week, because I believe that Jameis Winston will make the tight end position, whoever it is, fantasy relevant in a thin position when it comes to tight ends. But I mean, like, that's still a dart throw at best, right? Marquez Callaway, low end flex, like you said. You're already starting Alvin Kamara, there's no need to talk about him. But Jameis Winston, I mean, like, yeah, maybe like a QB2 at best. And on the other side of things, I mean, again, not a lot of like really, you know, a lot of really straight up answers here, right? I mean, you're starting Aaron Rodgers, you're starting Aaron Jones, and you're starting Devontae Adams, right? You're probably starting Robert Tonyan too, because we know Aaron Rodgers looks to force feed the man the football in the red zone, right? So you gotta remember, too, I'm not sure if it was confirmed, but I think Marshawn Lattimore is either out or he's at least injured, and he's their top cover corner, right? So if that's the case, I mean, what's the over on over-under on receptions for Devontae Adams? Whatever it is, I'm slamming that over. If Lattimore doesn't play, I am smashing that over on that button for Adams specifically.
All the targets. Yeah. All the targets. And remember, too, rookie tight end for Adam Trautman in New Orleans, and show, I don't know if this changes anything, Green Bay gave up the fewest fantasy points to tight ends last year, the third fewest. So, but you're a believer. You're going fishing for
the
some
trout. Man. Let's go.
The trout man. See if you can pull up some trout with some bait. We're going to see. All right. Broncos at Giants. Boy, man, the Giants, yeesh. Daniel Jones, no. Saquon Barkley, that's the question. He's going to play. Mm-hmm. What's the workload? It's been back and forth. Is he eased in? Is he not? You have Evan Engram out at tight end, which I wasn't expecting too much from him anyway. And
you got burned last year with Engram, Andy. You got burned.
I'm so burned. I'm so bitter. I'm so mad. But you have Kyle Rudolph there. Does that, Kyle Rudolph, who's really fading in with the Vikings, does that, you know, maybe as a cheap DraftKings play? But otherwise, show, like, Kenny Golladay is healthy. Talent-wise, he is a true WR1. Can Daniel Jones get him the ball enough to make him a WR1? That's going to be the question.
I think with Golladay, the only thing that concerns me is that he had this like hamstring injury, like a nagging hamstring injury, basically all summer. I think he is healthy now, and he probably will play in this game against the Broncos. But because of the hamstring injury, he's basically had no time to build rapport with Daniel Jones. Like, essentially
That's zero time, right?
So, like, as we saw with the Buccaneers last year, and I'm not in any way comparing the New York Giants to the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but in the sense that those guys took, like, half the season for Tom Brady to get on the same page with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and a whole bunch of those guys, I gotta imagine it's the same for virtually any player in any team. If you don't get time to work with your starting quarterback, you're gonna struggle at least a little bit, right? At least somewhat. So I think I'm sitting basically everyone not named Saquon Barkley today when it comes to the Giants offense. You gotta remember, too, the Broncos defense is gonna be very good this season. They're healthy. They have a lot of talented pieces. They're coached by a defensive-minded head coach in Fangio. Like, this team is gonna be very, very good on the defensive side of the ball, and you already have, I don't want to say like an inept Giants offense, but you got an offense that has struggled at times. I did read yesterday that Saquon Barkley is going to be given a full workload. That's what they're saying at the very least. I don't know. It's up to you to decide if that's coach speak or not. But at the same time, I think, like, if you have Barkley, you're starting him. He probably was had at a discount in many leagues this year. But at the same time, it's going to be tough sledding for him. It's going to be tough sledding for any running back this year against the Broncos defense, I bet.
I think you're right. This from Adam Schefter about 20 minutes ago. Giants running back Saquon Barkley knee should be used sparingly today. Okay. So take notes sparingly. Chargers running back Austin Eckler hamstring full go. And if all goes well in warm-up, Odell Beckham Jr. is expected to play, but again, expected to be limited. So it looks like Eckler is a go with the hammy, but you know that can change in a moment's notice. And if you drafted Barkley, you probably got to put him in, but just set your expectations accordingly because of that, of his recovery from those knee injuries. So, and for the Broncos, yeah, I love Jerry Jeudy. I think he just makes the pieces around him better. It's just going to be how does he distribute the ball? What does that look like? That's going to be the interesting part for the Broncos. Let's go Bears versus Rams. Andy Dalton, but for how long show in Chicago, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I have my microphone off. Turn my mic on. I think when it comes to the Bears and the Rams, yeah, I think Andy Dalton, he has to be the starting quarterback this week only because if Justin Fields gets eaten alive by Aaron Donald on live television, Matt Nagy's not going to have a job next week, right? That's what's going to happen, right? So I think
feed him to the wolves.
You cannot do that, right? And certainly it's not great news for Bears fans because I think everyone knows that Justin Fields is a dynamic athlete, but hey, it's not going to be too long before you see Justin Fields. Like I would bet by the end of September, like going into October, I bet Justin Fields is a starting quarterback.
I would wager that as well. Smart move to not have him go against that Rams defense. In fact,
on the road,
on the road. I think that's a great fantasy play for the Rams D this week. Obviously, David Montgomery. Hey, I'm not a believer in him. I know he finished strong, but the schedule was much weaker, and Tariq Cohen was not in the lineup. Now Cohen is still not in the lineup, but you do have Damian Williams, who's a better pass catcher. How does that work into it? I think you have to put in Allen Robinson just based on target share. And on the Rams side, what does Matthew Stafford look like? Can he light it up, open up that offense? I think it's going to be a big day for Bobby Trees, also known as Robert Woods.
Also known as Robert Woods. Yeah, Allen Robinson, you don't get silly with the lineup. And even if he's getting shadowed by Jalen Ramsey, you just downgrade Allen Robinson from a WR1 to a WR2. Yeah, stop. Stop it. Get some help. Thinking about not playing Allen Robinson, he's going to be in your lineup every week outside of injuries and a bye week. So I like Allen Robinson as always. And yeah, on the Matthew Stafford Rams side of things, you're starting Stafford. If he is fully healthy, if the back thing is not bothering him as it has in years past, he's probably going to throw for over 4,000 yards, right? I mean, he has done that. He has thrown for 4,000 yards in 8 of his last 10 seasons, despite all the injuries he's suffered.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's absolutely wild. Yeah. Now he's playing. I mean, he's not playing in a dome, but I mean, he is playing, like you said, better weather, and probably the best wide receivers core from top to bottom that he has ever had, right? So I think it's gonna be good sledding, I think, for Matthew Stafford. And you're starting Robert Woods as maybe like a lower end WR1, Cooper Kupp maybe as a WR2. You're starting Tyler Higbee because we know Stafford loves to throw the ball to the tight end. What are you doing with Darrell Henderson? RB2 for Darrell Henderson, are we saying?
Oh, with Sony Michel, I gotta see how that plays out. I'm gonna try to avoid that whole situation right now, because, yeah, what does Sony Michel do? How involved is he coming in new to the team? How involved is he going forward? What about the Funkster, Jake Funk? Is he going to get involved? I hope so, because I like saying
just
the name.
Just for the name, yeah.
Just for the name. That's it. I don't know or particularly care for the player, but I like the name. And Van Jefferson, don't count that guy out, man. I'm telling you, I think when it's partway through the year, DeSean Jackson lurking back there for some touches as well. He could always flash from time to time, but I think largely he's done. Van Jefferson, I think, is going to leapfrog Cooper Kupp as far as a favorite of Matthew Stafford based on his size, his speed. That's a little dangerous.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Might not be my danger zone pick, but it might be. Van Jefferson there. So in the final game of the week, before we break and take our danger zone pick, Baltimore Ravens in Vegas against the Raiders in that sweet giant, what do they call it, the Death Star Alliance Stadium, right? Or whatever it's
Allegiant.
Called.
Allegiant Stadium.
Allegiant Stadium. Holy. Just beautiful. I think for the Ravens, people were all concerned, the running backs, they're all injured. And to me, it didn't really change anything because I didn't want to play any of the Ravens running back anyway. J.K. Dobbins obviously was the most talented. He's gone. Gus Edwards gone. Now you have Tyson Williams, Latavius Murray, Trenton Cannon. You have Le'Veon Bell lurking on the practice squad. That just reeks of a committee who's just going to be a rotating slew of bodies. But we know the top running back is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's him.
And that hasn't changed. That's why my outlook for the Ravens has still only been your only starters in fantasy are Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews, and that didn't change with the injuries to the running backs.
Yeah, Mark Andrews is, you're starting him no matter what, even if he's not going to get a ton of targets, like compared to, let's say, a Kelce, Waller, or Hockenson, maybe even a Higbee, he's not going to get as many targets as those guys only because the Ravens will not throw the ball a whole ton, but he is still by far and away the best pass catcher on that offense. I'm not trying to crap on Marquise Brown, for example, but he's just not used in a way that is consistent for fantasy production, right? Like, you can probably slot him in, like, in the matchups that say, yeah, the team X is bad against the pass. Maybe you can start him if you're feeling confident, but he's a home run play, a dart throw, I think, at the best of times, as much as I do. Like, if he was on another team, I think I'd probably be much more into Marquise Brown as a reliable fantasy output, but not as long as he's with the Ravens, right? So Marquise Brown, no. Mark Andrews, yes. And yeah, obviously you're starting Lamar Jackson. I would start Tyson Williams this week just because I think it's going to take at least a week or two for guys like Le'Veon Bell and Latavius Murray to get up to speed. Maybe even as soon as next week, it might be Latavius Murray is the guy or one of the main guys. But to this week specifically, because Tyson Williams is essentially the only healthy running back that has taken any sort of meaningful snaps in the offseason with the Baltimore Ravens, the way they run their offense, I would start him this week because the Raiders defense is, like, bad. It's a bad defense, right? So that's the only reason I'm going with Williams. But after this week, it's anyone's guess, I would say.
I just think it means more run plays for Lamar Jackson.
Probably.
More designed runs,
honestly.
Show. But you know what, too? Ravens defense, good to very good. And the Raiders are starting four new offensive linemen, and Richie Incognito ruled out with a right calf injury. So that could be Baltimore defense really forcing Derek Carr to get rid of the football quickly. What does it mean for the running game? I think maybe the upside is Kenyon Drake as a smart play instead of Josh Jacobs if you're in PPR because of quick dump-offs. And, of course, it's Darren Waller. Season-long, I love Bryan Edwards' upside. I don't like him in this particular matchup because of the O-line and the Ravens' defense. But long-term, I love Bryan Edwards. But I think it's really Waller, and maybe a bit of a flex play for DraftKings is Kenyon Drake show. But outside of Waller, I might want to stay clear in this matchup with those O-line issues.
I think if you drafted Josh Jacobs, because you probably had to get Josh Jacobs in you're gonna play him, I think. But like, much like you mentioned for Kenyon Drake, maybe like low end RB2 because the Ravens defense is so good. On the whole year, I would probably say Josh Jacobs RB2, like a higher end RB2, but today on Monday specifically, I'm gonna say Jacobs is a flex play. And I'm passing on any of the pass catchers other than Darren Waller. Derek Carr, he's quietly been pretty steady, but again, against the Baltimore Ravens, you probably have better options, I would say.
Yeah, with the O-line issues. All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back and return to the danger zone, our dangerous fantasy picks of the week. To wrap up the fantasy show, we are delivered by Domino's Pizza, and you're listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Welcome to the Danger Zone.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Oh, and so are we, wrapping up the fantasy show on the Sportsnet Radio Network with the Danger Zone. It is back. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. Get us on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. Get your Domino's today. Perfect football food at Domino's.ca. All right, Show, this means Danger Zone time. We pick, really a dangerous fantasy play for this week. How are you starting week one with your danger zone?
All right, week one. I know we only got a couple minutes or a minute left here. So my week one danger zone pick to start 2021, Devonta Smith will be the best rookie wide receiver today in the entire NFL. And overall, including all wide receivers, the Philadelphia Eagles' Devonta Smith will be a top three wide receiver today in week one of fantasy.
That is dangerous. I don't think it's right, but it's dangerous, Show.
Ooh,
I'll give it to you.
It's happening, buddy.
I'm going. You go. Rookie. I'll go veteran. Marvin Jones. Mr. Jones is feeling dangerous today with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And as rookie quarterback, you have Trevor Lawrence. They're going up against the awful Houston Texans. Marvin Jones and Lawrence, chemistry all offseason. They rookies love their veteran safety blanket. Marvin Jones, PPR-wise, top five fantasy wide receiver today. Shock the world, Marvin Jones. Danger zone.
Do you have any, real quick, do you have a season-long danger zone pick, or you want to save that for Twitter, maybe?
Let's save it for next week.
Okay,
let's save
right.
it for next week.
All right, deal.
We'll do that. All right, folks, it's here. Enjoy. It's go time. Let's do it. Football is back. The Fantasy Show. I'm Andy McNamara. That's Show Ali. And you've been listening across the Sportsnet Radio Network.